The Triple M's Rush Hour, JB, Billy and Triple M Footy's Joey Montagna in the studio.
Oh, nice to have him in too. How are you, mate?
Good, thanks, JB. Bill?
287 games.
Feels like a lifetime ago.
That's a long time. Two All-Australians, two Premiership. Oh, pre-season.
Right. Bill.
That's hard.
I thought it said Premiership.
That's not. We're better
Did you win
that.
A couple of night flags? Did you win one?
We won one.
Kicked the footy over a silo. That's
yeah. That's yeah.
We're going to get to that too.
And of course, DSL man and new dad.
Yes, indeed.
Well done, mate.
Thank you.
Baby Noah, which is fantastic.
Noah Montagna. How did that come about? Yeah. Please, was that your beautiful better half, Aaron, or yourself?
I think it was Aaron's choice. But it was a name that we had set out. We didn't know if it was going to be a boy or a girl, so we had the name picked for each. And little baby Noah and. He's going really well. It's awesome. And, Aaron was the star of the show, absolutely.
Well, of course. And your own contribution, were you any good at all? Because I did it four times, as did Bill, and I'd have to put my hand up and say I wasn't any
Hopeless.
Good.
No, I was relegated. I was the water boy. That was, honestly, in between contractions, I'd give Aaron a mouthful of water, give her a drink, pat on the back, tell her how great of a job she was doing, and then you feel helpless, don't you? You stand around and... I was relegated to the water boy, but as I said, she did a marvellous job. Erin had her playlist. She sort of likes the acoustic stuff, a bit more of the sort of chilled out, slower version. So we had that playing, and the Logies were on in the background, actually, because it was on the Sunday night when the Logies were on, so that was on in the background.
You could have caught in Grant after the gold medalist.
Oh, yeah, exactly right.
Grant Denyer.
Well, after a while, Bill, what happened, certainly in my case, is you become a bit more... You know, you do it your third and fourth time. Yeah. The midwives, who are the most magnificent people in the world, the reason I Fantastic. Love them is because they give it to you right between the eyes, which we all like as
Sit down.
Former sportsmen. And this one woman, I was watching the Crows-Carlton, I'll never forget it. George is now 12. He's born in August. So I was watching Crows-Carlton on the telly. Epidural had gone in.
Yep.
So, you know, George's mum was just lying there doing absolutely nothing. And I had a very good idea that was going to continue for 4 or 5 hours. So I just sat there watching the telly. And this beautiful midwife, who was great, walked in and she said, "What do you think you're doing?" I said, "Well, I'm just watching the telly." "You're going to contribute anything to this?" You reckon?
Yeah.
I said, "Well, there's not much I could do." No. She sort of got the epidural in and she looked pretty comfortable. "Oh, that's your opinion, is it?"
Yeah.
Like she just absolutely split me down the middle, which I thought was fantastic.
We had Enya. I've spoken about this. I hate Enya.
Thank you, Bill.
I hate Enya. Sorry. Joey boy, also the hospital staff, what did they do when Noah was born?
Yeah, that caught me a bit by surprise. We had the little nice 5 or 10 minutes where Noah was on air chest and we were taking it all in, and then the midwives and the docs, they said, "You're ready to go, sing happy birthday."
Birthday.
So we sang happy birthday to Noah, which I wasn't expecting, but it was quite nice actually. And when you think about it, you only have one birthday in your life, and
I've never heard that.
Yeah, no, it was quite nice. So we sang happy birthday to Noah, and after about he was about 10 minutes old.
Have you ever? I've never heard that.
No,
the staff.
Good
and,
though.
Yeah,
I thought, why not? That was
she at the hospital where they then got the option to go to the Park Hyatt?
Well, we did. We went straight. Well, what happened is the night that we had the baby, and it was a chock-a-block. They had about 9 births that night, and they were under the pump. And the midwife said because it was a full moon, and they honestly have a theory that when it's full moon, more babies are born.
Oh, wow.
So we were quite busy. So there were no rooms available that night. So we had to spend the night in the birthing suite. And the next morning, they said, "Look, there's actually no rooms available at the moment. Are you happy to go straight across to the Park Hyatt?"
Gold.
So we said, "Yeah, happy Golden day." Ball. So we went straight across there and had 3 nights at the Park Hyatt. And we had the midwife staying next door to us. So we had her there. And it was really good. We could have visitors and relax. So it went really well.
Had a drink yet, have we?
Not really. Nah, not really. I haven't had time yet to wet the baby's head.
We might have to do that.
Try and find some time. It's only been a couple of weeks.
I'd be finding some time.
Yeah.
Well,
because there's a lot of time when that gets taken off the agenda.
Yes, exactly.
Once it starts getting back into the 9 to 5, you might just get some, I wouldn't be going for a drink.
Well, it's hard because I work on the weekends, as we do. We work in the media. I work on the footy. So
midweek.
My mates work midweek. So what do we? You mean at night?
At night. Time.
I've got to be home. I've got the bath, bathing, and then the bed.
I reckon one night you could just squeeze out of there.
Well, we're due for a drink, Jim.
Exactly
we're
right.
Very well behaved.
Yeah, we're way too well behaved.
Hey, where do you stand?
Well done. It's the best thing you ever do.
It is. It's by a mile.
Brilliant.
Well done. Where do you stand on the rule changes?
I have now lent towards that rule changes are necessary. I was one at the start of the year as an ex-player thinking just let it unfold. It'll work itself out. But watching the majority of the games this year, as I do, I found a lot of games have been quite boring. I think the congestion is an issue. And I'm warming towards the starting positions. When you think about starting positions,
What are you talking about here? How
many? Well, forward starting inside the forward 50, which is the way the game's been played for 120 years.
Yeah.
Where did you play when you played centre forward full four? Where did you stand?
Goal square.
Inside 50.
Didn't move.
So really, it's only been the last 10 years where all of a sudden our full forwards and our forward pockets are expected to be up on the half-back flank. So we're not really changing the game forever. We're just going back to the way it was for the majority, for 120 years of football. So I think that could work. I think it'll open up the whole ground and it can bring back some more scoring and free-flowing
football. All right, so this is what interests me about it. In theory, I get it, and I'm not disagreeing, but if they're starting to introduce it not just at centre bounces but at stoppages,
yep,
surely that's going to slow the game down even more, because if the ump's going to say, I'm not throwing it up everyone's in sighting positions, aren't we going to have these great big long delays while the ground gets reset again?
If it takes an extra second or 2 seconds to ball it up and to get the free-flowing positioning back in play, what's wrong with that?
But is it going to be extra 2 seconds? If everyone's crushed down into a forward 50, which is what happens,
yep,
and they've got to run back.
It takes more than 2 seconds to get everyone back again.
I think for players, like any rule change that's come in, whether it's hands in the back, interchange, players adapt very quickly. So if you're going to get caught and you're going to give away free kicks because you're too far up the ground, players will just play closer to home. You can anticipate when there's going to be a ball up. When the ball goes out of bounds, players will adapt pretty quickly, and they'll get into their positions. And if you pay a few free kicks early, and I don't know what it'll look like in regards to the rules, in regards to the penalties, if you're not inside 50 or in your starting position, it'll evolve really quickly. And if it takes an extra 2 seconds to ball it up, I think that's okay, because we're probably going to have 20 less ball ups in a game anyway.
Well, the only thing I said yesterday was I'd like to see it in the JLT first. Mm. I don't think we need to go straight to round one. And
that would be ideal, and I think we can get a good look at it.
I think it's going to happen, Jim. I don't disagree.
Well, I think you've got to trial things.
So we know the penalties?
No, well, that's the part I believe they're still working through, is do you punish the forward? But what if the defender and the forward both aren't in their starting position?
Where do you take it from?
Where do you take it from? How does it work? I think that's still the logistical part of it that they've got to work through, but I think it's got a lot of merit.
And coaches are coaches, Bill.
Yes.
We've already heard from about three of them, be careful of extra scoring.
Yeah.
They're already trying to drag scoring back, and it hasn't even started yet.
That is the one thing that I agree with, and we have to be careful, because if we do get extra scoring and a more free-flowing open game of football, there will be bigger blowout margins. The better teams will beat the lower teams by a lot more. So we have to be careful what we wish for. If we want closer games of football and where both teams are a chance to win, but it's congested and it's low scoring, would we rather an 80 to 60 game than have a team win 130 to 70?
Yeah.
So that's true. What you've got to be careful of. I agree with that.
Dimmers won because Richmond have won their games on pressure and least goals, haven't they?
Yeah.
The last 2 years, or last year, and certainly this year. So he doesn't want to see any more free-flowing or goals.
Because then it comes down to skill. If it's about offense, it comes down to skill level. And that is it's harder to narrow the gap on skill level, but any team can apply pressure. And that's why we've seen the Bulldogs and Richmond win flags, because any team can apply pressure and defensively bring intensity. It takes no skill or no talent. But if you bring it into a talent game, then you are going to have a bigger gap between the best and the worst teams in the comp.
It is one of the I know you love it, Joey. It's one of the reasons college football in the States is more popular than professional football.
Because
it's free-flowing and they score and take risks. And suddenly you get up to the pros and it's all about stopping scoring and people don't like it as much.
Joe Montagna in the studio now, though.
Modest, you are.
Bill.
You're a modest cricketer, Jim.
Let me just just give you a task.
Yes, please.
Go and have a look through the 50 or 60 first-class cricketers in Australia at the moment.
Their average?
Batsmen, and just see how many of them are averaging beyond 43. Just any of them.
Righto.
Who aren't playing
good, didn't they? Had good rhythm, hit the wicket hard. You know,
that's it, Joey.
Did you average over 43?
Just have a look at just who's doing that.
On the flat Adelaide track.
Would you average 43? Did you really?
It's always this garbage that comes out, Bill, but you can only do what you do.
Flat,
hey, Joey, speaking of speaking of magnificent and not modest performers, our man BJ Goddard.
Brendan Goddard.
Yep.
And there's been a lot of chatter about him the last couple of days. Should he play on or should he retire? And we like this, BJ. We all know what BJ, and you do especially, what he's like. And he had this to say this morning.
At this point in time, I'm comfortable with where I'm at, but so I don't feel like people say holding young guys back, but we're in an industry where you just don't gift younger kids players. So from a selfish point of view, it's their responsibility, kind of knock me off the perch, so to speak.
That was on RSN this morning.
No, that's what we like about BJ. He says what he's thinking, and he's a straight shooter, and he basically put it out there and said, well, okay, young kids, if you think you want to take my spot, well, you've got to be better than me.
Yeah, and what do you think? You've seen him and you know him well.
Yeah, I think he's playing well enough to keep going. I don't know why, as we get older, that we have to start trying to get rid of them. I mean, you see what Hodgie's doing at Brisbane. We see Cade Simpson at Carlton. I mean, Brendan's had a pretty good year. He doesn't have to be the best player anymore. That's the guys that are in that age bracket like Heppel and Merritt and those guys. But he's still playing a role. He's still a really strong leader around the place. I think sometimes we're a bit too keen to get rid of these players that might not be playing at their absolute best. I mean, some of us talk about Gary Ablett Jr. Like, it really annoys me. Like, fair dinkum. I mean, he's still having such a good year. Of course, he's not playing like he did at his peak, but they still have a valuable role in these teams, and Brendan's one of those players.
Peter Hanscom, 90 first-class games, average 39. tell me, just a bloke who's playing for Australia.
He's a relative of mine, too.
He's married
my cousin.
And a very, very good player.
What's he averaging? 39.
39. Now, Joey,
what did you average?
What about just 43? What about the hairdo? Now, yeah, advanced hair. Our man BJ's heading down. We have all, yourself, myself, Bill, everyone, have been piling into him about the feathers evaporating. He's tried to fight the good fight. Now he's just put his guns down.
And he's taken the dollars with him for
it.
So, good luck to him. He's at least finally put his hand up, and he tried that comb over sweep for a while, didn't he?
That thing.
You know who's trying to do that now? Armo's starting to do that. Dave Armo's just trying to get that sweep.
Terrible.
That's the first sign. And then it's a slow downhill pass.
He is vain, Armo.
He's happy with himself.
I thought Beach for a while there was going to legitimately attempt a KB. the full takeover.
Right.
And therefore, when it rains, Bill, it all ends up down one side. I thought he was going to have a go at that for a minute.
He's doing well, BJ.
Because the players do not like their names thrown around, do they? And when you're older, you get a bit sensitive, don't you? And you don't like reading or hearing about, us talking about, should he stay or should he go?
Well, it always gets difficult, especially as you get towards the end of your career, because, you still got the passion and you're still determined and, you still feel like you've got a lot more to offer and you probably don't ever feel that you're that close to the end. So
we spoke about this time last year.
Absolutely. Every single player goes through it because everyone ends up winding up. So it's just your turn.
It is indeed. Now, big game this Friday night, of course, St Kilda versus Richmond. It's Maddie's match.
Yeah, Maddie's match. They've been doing amazing things, the Rewalt family and the MRV organisation. So we're trying to get as many fans down there. Donate purple $5 notes. Match it for Maddie. Doing great things, trying to find a cure for bone marrow failure. And, good luck to both teams on Friday night.
Maddie Renshaw, 41 average. Now, let's have a look at this here, because we got little Noah's just arrived, Bill.
Yes.
Magnificent little man to our man Joey. And it is the best thing you ever do. I don't care what else you achieve in life. Having children with the woman that you love, in your case, the magnificent Erin, is as good a thing as you'll ever do.
Yep.
And so what we've done we sent Jill.
Yes.
Let's be honest.
She's
because Bill.
Jill picked that I was having a boy too. She got that one right.
She always gets it right.
I've seen Erin. She's having a boy.
We said we need to do something for our man Joey. So Jill's gone and done the right thing by you, mate.
So thank you very much. Thank you for the little man. Thank you, Jill.
What did we get?
That's it.
Oh, look at that. So cute.
It's like a little rocking. Bear playing drums.
That's it. So you basically pull the cord and it plays music. It's a magnificent little thing for a little fella. Don't ruin it, Bill.
Yeah, don't break it.
It's just a ride. So that's for you from the Rush Hour family, Joey.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. Thank you very much. Thank you, Jill.
Go and enjoy that. And you just tell us when the date is and we'll come along.
For a frothy?
Exactly.
And when are you on this weekend? What are you doing
Saturday
this
Saturday night, calling the Geelong-Melbourne game. I'm going down to Geelong, Bill. Nice. First time I've been to the new... Well, no, it's not.
You'll be
first time I've been
away.
To the commentary box. I don't know where the commentary boxes are there, but I'll figure it out.
They're not
real. So calling that game Saturday night. So looking forward to it. I think that'll be an absolute beauty.
You'll love the lights here. Wait till they go on, mate. They are, mate. You'll get excited then.
Where do I go for a beer after? Bill and Geelong?
The Cremorne Hotel.
Oh, that's right.
Well, you can come down. I'll be there holding court.
Okay, might pop in.
I'll buy you one, Joey. We'll have a frothy there.
Will you have something over the bar for him?
He can have whatever he wants. I'll have a Sambuca.
I have to drive home. We'll just have a couple.
You might stay. We might ring Ayres and just say you're caught up, Ayres. We might have to camp the night.
Sean Marsh, 40.6. Anyway, we'll let you go, Joe. Great to see you, mate, and have a wonderful time with little Noah
and
your magnificent wife.
Thank you very much, boys.